www.rtip.org today.
At the races with Steve Bick. Enough! Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back. Hour three on this Thursday, and this week has absolutely rifled by, and it just occurs to me as Tim Wilkin joins us, and I was going to launch right into Albany Times Union, but I won't. But
just to so you know, I entered the transfer portal.
I love it. We talked to Tim, of course, during the summer at Saratoga. And I was going to say, you know, the week is flying. I cannot believe it's Thursday. Tomorrow, weekend preview. From here, it'll be quiet, of course, because there's no racing. But there's plenty to look forward to, including Del Mar's closing weekend, all the big two-year-old races. But, I did not broadcast from Saratoga on Monday. The way the weather was shaping up, I thought this is silly, and I was getting ready to make this drive.
Made the right choice.
Yeah,
it was brutal.
It got worse and worse, actually.
It did. I mean, and the thing is, Steve, is that it was the only bad day of the whole meet.
I know.
I'm talking to a bunch of people up there, and it was like, it seems like more times than not, closing day is lousy weather. I don't know why, but it. And I remember a lot of really, really bad days. And this was a cold, rainy. It felt like the middle of October.
Right.
And, you know, after the heat we had all summer, it was, you know, such a weird way for the meet to end.
Well, that also, for those that were there.
God bless them.
Well, and for those that every so often say, they should hold Breeders' Cup at Saratoga. Yeah, okay. Okay, thank you. Thanks for your input. Not such a great idea.
It would never work. I mean,
it's ridiculous.
I've talked to them blue in the face. People don't understand it. You know, they think that they have the Breeders' Cup at Saratoga. It's magically going to transform to summer. You know, can you imagine being in that backyard in November?
Well, and the other thing that people completely miss, the staffing at Saratoga in July and August. It's teachers that are out of school doing mutual. There's kids that are out of school working the concession stands, etc., and even the mutual windows. Where do you think you're going to staff people for 2 days, or if you had a 3-day meet, Thursday, Friday, Saturday? Where do you think you're going to staff up a facility to handle 40,000 patrons? The whole thing is nonsensical. Just stop.
It is very nonsensical.
Well, you mentioned the Saratoga. Del Mar has been in a very similar situation. It's a summer meet, and a lot of, you know, part-timers come in that have the summer off.
Yep.
And they've had the Breeders' Cup there, what, twice now?
Yeah.
And they've done some capping of the crowd, and a lot of that is to make it, you know, more manageable for the crowd, but a lot of that is trying to get
staff.
Fulfilling the staff.
Well,
for,
they bring
for the
in
2 days.
People don't realize that there are a roving band of mutual clerks that come in for Triple Crown races, that come in for Breeders' Cup, wherever it is, and it's a roster of people that, you know, either, you know, they come from whatever area of the country, and they'll come in and staff the windows.
Like gypsies.
A little bit. And they love doing it. For Derby. Derby brings in my friend Henry comes in. I see Henry every Derby. And he'll go to Breeders' Cup as well. Tina, they used to bring Tina down for years. They would bring Tina down to Belmont for Belmont Day.
Mm-hmm.
And they even occasionally would say to her, do you want to can you come down for even in the fall? They would come down when they were expecting, you know, 20,000-25,000. One year they put her in the Turf and Field Club. She made more money on Belmont Day in the Turf and Field Club than she made all summer.
No kidding.
It was, she had some, one guy went on a heater and was cashing five figures every second race and started to jump and was just peeling off. She came home with like $7,000. It was nuts.
That's a good day.
It was nuts.
That's a good day. But the other thing, too, about Del Mar, they already, you know, they got the weather on their side.
Yeah.
Saratoga would not have the weather on their side. It could be snowing up there.
Or it could be, listen, it could be 60 degrees and a beautiful fall
it
day.
It could be.
That would be idyllic. Like when we've had those sales, when Basic comes up for that October sale. There's been days where it's just delightful, but look at what happened to poor Monmouth. I mean, that was a tragedy of just epic proportion.
It was.
Because it was beautiful all week.
Yeah, and then I think it finally stopped, like, right before, the Classic.
The turf.
The turf, was it?
The turf. And when the rain stopped with the turf, and the sun came out as horses were coming to the paddock for the Classic. Which was almost like an insult at that point.
And they had done such a good job to get it there. And it's too bad. It's that's why I think the Breeders' Cup should always be Santa Anita, I think, is the best place to have it.
Well, I know I was there. We did seven of them when I was there, and there was something on the table to have it there for like 10 straight years.
Well, Satish pitched it on the show when they were making that bid. And at the time, I thought to myself, this is silly, but it was, remember when they were doing the 2 years in a row?
Yeah.
2 years at Santa Anita, there were 2 years at Churchill, right. Then 2 more years at Santa Anita. And those 2 years in a row, I realized that Satish was right, that this does make sense.
And we did.
To accommodate everybody.
I think we did 3 years in a row.
I think there was
10, 11, 12, somewhere around
that
in there.
Right.
And in all kinds of ways, operationally.
Yeah.
Instead of, once in a while, we got the Breeders' Cup, just pull out the manual. It almost, not only for us at the track and for the Breeders' Cup people, but for the trainers and the people that came into town. They knew where to stay now. They knew the routine. They knew what happened. And so it was, wash, rinse, repeat, as opposed to, coming to a new town, which is fun.
It is.
At some point. But I think the weather was guaranteed and the facility could handle it. You didn't have to put up extra stands to hold extra people, and I think that's a big point in that. And so it worked. And then I don't know what happened; it fell apart, and we've kind of lost the rotation a little bit. And when you think about it, right now, what tracks are in the running to hold Breeders' Cups?
Keeneland, Del Mar, Santa Anita.
Yes. Continue
Churchill.
On.
Churchill.
Now Churchill, now when they get their
turf course
back in. So you have two tracks in California, two tracks in Kentucky. And it used to be...
Belmont. We used to
used
be,
to be a bunch.
Belmont they're gonna once the remodel's
right,
done, we're probably 10 years, 7, 8 years away.
Gulfstream
killed
pretty
themselves.
Much not in the picture.
No,
they took the building apart.
Right. Yep. Who knows, in 10 years if Pimlico gets built, something like that.
They're not
going to have the crowds.
Although, I suppose if they're going to be able, with the way the plan is laid out, I guess they actually could with the tents, with the temporary, not impossible.
Could it conceivably go back to Lone Star?
Woodbine
could be in the hunt.
Well, the way Texas racing is now, there might not be any more racing.
Yeah, that'll straighten.
I hope it does.
We 10 years ago, we had, we had a pick, and now it's...
Woodbine was in the mix, but
really,
they had the one time.
I'll tell you the one that I don't understand, that is never even, I've never even heard come up. Why is Fairgrounds not a consideration? They open in November. Why would Fairgrounds not be a consideration 3 weeks earlier? Open the meet with a Breeders' Cup. It would be a mammoth hit.
Can they handle 25,000, 30,000?
Sure, of course they can. Yeah, absolutely.
What about Oaklawn?
Turf, T-U-R-F.
Yeah, okay.
They don't have any turf.
Yeah, that's true.
You could have the
Kentucky Downs Oaklawn shuttle.
Well, they discussed this with Alan Foreman about there might be the one season when they're configuring Pimlico that they may have to run the dirt races at Pimlico and the turf races at Laurel for a season because of the way they're twisting the oval.
But I wouldn't be opposed to being at Santa Anita every year.
Opposed to what? I'm sorry.
I would not be opposed to it being at Santa Anita every year.
I would not be opposed at all.
And I think, like you said, after making the merry-go-round, probably not a bad idea.
Well, and all the, you know, some of the concerns that were voiced at the time really have not played out, which was, oh, it's disadvantageous to East Coast horses. Well, the East Coast horses came in and kicked ass the last two, I think, at Santa Anita.
Yeah.
So that's
the home field advantage doesn't work in this at all, I don't think.
No.
I think you go to the nicest venue. You want the sport to be showcased on its biggest day, and you want it to look good, and it always looks good at Santa Anita.
That's true.
Always.
What about
does.
Tampa?
Tampa?
I'm just throwing some stuff
out
there.
Tampa? It's wonderful, except it can barely hold the crowd it gets for Tampa Bay Derby.
Yeah, no, I know. I'm just throwing out some
Tampa would be a riot. That'd be so much. That Mrs. Thayer would love to host a Breeders' Cup. She would. She'd be. It'd be like Marge Everett reborn. She.
Okay. Yes, it would.
The Tim, some final thoughts, Saratoga, for you. What it was business wise, obviously, and attendance and atmosphere. It just crackled, and that obviously that Travers was as good a Travers Day as most people remember.
You know, it's whenever you talk Saratoga, as you know, you got to talk about the weather first. Does the weather cooperate? The weather cooperated this year, even though it was a little hot. I mean, like, there was only the one bad day. The one bad day was closing day. That's the only bad day. And, you know, the racing was phenomenal each day in and day out. I mean, you had superstar performances from Epicenter. And, you know, but I think if I was to give an MVP for that meet, I would give it to Nest because, you know, she was phenomenal in the Coaching Club Oaks in the Alabama. John Velasquez winning his 1,000th career race up there. West Point got their 1,000th career race. I mean, and Johnny V was just 1,000 at Saratoga. And I always got a kick out of him because he doesn't care about the numbers. He does not care at all. You know, winning races are, yes, but he does, like Angel Cordero, when he was his agent, Angel loved the numbers, loved the records. And Angel would go berserk when Johnny would set one, and Johnny didn't really care about it. It was like no big deal to him. And, you know, that was just a, you know, it shows the longevity that he's had in his career. But he's 50 now, I think, and he still wants to do it. As long as it's fun for him and he can get the good mounts, he'll keep riding. I mean, I read Ortiz, it might be turning into the Angel Cordero at Saratoga, you know, with in the riding titles and the way he rides. You know, it's I don't know if you could find anything from that meet that was a negative to anybody. It really was a phenomenal meet.
I had my 8 days up there, which I love. I mean, I love Saratoga, so I go every year. But I like what you've done, and then similar to what we've done here, improvements, but not massive every year. Just a little here, and they put the double decker bar this year. Just a little bit each year. That's really, and at the end of 4 or 5 years, you go, wow, place has changed, but not entirely. We've added the chalet over here, mm-hmm. and then we actually had Ted Nicholson on. Was it yesterday? And he got some photos of the double decker bar, mm-hmm. and was talking about maybe putting something like that over here in the grass area to get some people over there and doing that. So little bit at a time, the right way is a much better way to go about it.
Yeah.
And it's just it's I love it. I mean, like I said, I love Del Mar, I love Saratoga, but as a California guy, for me, that's an away game, and I really enjoy it.
Well, I don't know of anyone that's ever said they didn't like Saratoga the first time they were there. I don't know anyone that ever said this is horrible.
Well, and it has the constant attraction of essentially converting people into race fans, mm-hmm. and horse players. I brought my friends Kelly and Martin from Montreal, and they're at Belmont every year. They've come to Derby. They've become huge fans and huge players. Martin is a serious player. All it took was, you know, just the exposure. And that's why, you know, this venue has its own unique appeal. Your first time, haven't seen a race yet live, but what's your initial impression, Tim?
You know, when I was up at Saratoga, I was telling people I was coming down here, and they were all telling me, you know, like Dale Romans and Tammy Fox and Al Stahl, they were all telling me what to expect down here. And they said it's going to be like going to a fair. And I'm thinking like the old Northampton Fair up in, that I used to go to.
The best.
You know, I'm when I first got here, I'm thinking, wow, this is, it's phenomenal. I mean, I just like the setting, just the way the layout, and I haven't seen people here yet, but I can just vision how they're going to be, you know, tailgating and all of that kind of thing. I just think it's great, and I'm really looking forward to watching the races here because, as we all know, the purses are through the roof, and why wouldn't they be? You know, it's like the Pied Piper blowing the pipe, and the horses are all coming because everybody wants a piece of the pie.
Yeah. Well, it's fantastic. We got Tyler Picklesheimer, who's the racing secretary, and at Safeway in the green room over here, and he could talk a little bit more about getting things here. And I got to admit, we added a one whole day to this meet,
and
a little worried about, you know, maybe run out of horses for that extra day, and you know, too many 2-year-old races or too many. I think on Wednesday we have 142 horses on the overnight, so
that's unbelievable.
That didn't pan out, but as racing secretaries, well, they worry about things, and that's what we're supposed to do. But luckily, that never panned out. But Tyler will go into a little bit more about how this thing has grown exponentially, kind of year after year.
Tim Wilkin, great to have you here. Last year it was Mike Kane that represented. Capital District as part of the notes team, the publicity arm.
Yeah.
And you love this, right?
I mean, in 2 weeks I'll be at Parks
for the weekend. Derby. I'll see you there too.
See, I'm following you.
I talked to Stu Kirschenbaum yesterday. Stuart's going to be there. Yeah, I'm going to see him Monday, the week from Monday at the Masters. I'm doing the Masters now at Presque Isle. That sort of bubble to the surface out of nowhere, but it's a traveling circus.
You got to get yourself a deal with some car dealership to racing across America.
Well,
they should do that for you.
That's not such a terrible idea. I actually, you know
the
what?
Big top.
Well, I pitched. Oh my gosh, what's the name of the dealership that I bought my Impala from in Louisville? That's one of the. It's one of the great stories. I drive into Louisville. There's a little funny sound in the front end. I brought it to the dealership across from where I was staying. Next thing I know, I'm driving home in a new 2019 Impala, and I tell everybody, yeah, came to the Ville, drove home in a new car, baby. Came to Derby.
Well, you do like the circus used to do. They had the lead team that would go ahead and put the posters on on all the things. And circus coming to town, Bix coming to town. You just
there you go.
You got the lead team right ahead. They would go along the railroad tracks and set up tent and pack it up and go to the next town. So anyway,
the greatest show on earth.
Exactly. The greatest show on turf and the greatest unscripted drama in all of sports. Tim Wilkin, everybody, and long time turf scribe. And I don't know if you've seen the press release, but I am going to quickly congratulate those involved in the National Turf Writers and Broadcasters Award pointing and announcement. Jim McInville is going to receive the big sport of turfdom.
Mm-hmm. Is that the Mr. Fitz Award?
The Mr. Fitz, yes. Not the big sport of turfdom is at Arizona that we do that. Mac is getting the Mr. Fitz Award, and Barbara Livingston the Joe Palmer Award. I didn't know Barbara was from Schenectady.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. Unbelievable.
I want to say Burn Hills High School.
How about that? Chris Lincoln will be honored with the Jim McKay.
The Budweiser long shot.
Absolutely. And Mike Welch and Tom Padula. There was a dead heat. Tom Padula and Mike Welch will receive Walter Haight Awards.
I won that a couple years ago, the Haight.
Congratulations to everybody on that nice list, and we'll be doing this right at Keeneland, of course, in just a few weeks. Really, 7 weeks away? Not even.
It's hard to believe. I don't know where the time goes.
Tim Wilkin, everybody, and Tim, I had you on more in a month and a half. than I had for. I'm embarrassed. I told you that at Saratoga. It should have been on many more times. And now that we're into a nice swing.
We'll see you in parks.
Exactly. Well, that'll be the next stop.
Yeah. Okay.
I love it.
Thanks,
Tim Wilkin, everybody. Tyler Picklesheimer, who is going to join us, and typically we talk to Tyler whenever him and Chip Bock are the go-tos when it comes to Turfway. But now, of course, it's the new Turfway, and have you been up? Were you there for the ribbon cutting?
No, actually, I was down here, so we missed it. But all reports we got were it was great, well received. We had a friends and family night on the 27th, and all the people that went, to represent me, my drunken friends, they had a good time. So no complaints.
I love it, and as long as we've talked, you and I, and me and Chip. We've been waiting for this to happen, and what's crazy about it is, plenty of people refuse to believe that there would ever be a new Turfway, and that there would be a history to be written.
Right.
What's funny is though, that it could have been any one of three or four different track operators
sure.
that could have been at the helm. That's the craziest part, and everybody believed. In the potential,
right. It's wonderful to have an ownership group that's involved and wants to be there and trying to make racing better in the state. And we're going to have one of the strongest circuits in the country, if not the strongest.
It's hard to. Hammer and I were talking about this at dinner last night because you take Keeneland, Churchill, Turfway, Ellis, and Kentucky Downs,
right.
And the HHR. It's scary.
It just adds a whole other level to the program. And I'm supposed to have a talk tomorrow with the accounting folks, and we're going to figure out what the purses are going to be. But from everything I've seen, they're going to go up substantially. We're going to add more days at Turfway over the course of the winter. So it's going to be the place to be in winter racing.
Another thing that's going up is the grandstand.
Exactly. Yeah, it's up and running. So they're rocking.
What about the backside? How are you?
We've added five new barns. We tore down a couple older barns. We're going to have a lot of the same folks we've had the last couple of years. Brad Cox will be there. Maker will be back. Ward will be back.
Wesley
will be there. I think McPeak's going to put in for some stalls. Dallas Stewart said something about it. Bill Morey's been there the last couple of years. So every year, Keneally's there, Mark Cassie. So, you open the program, you're going to see familiar names.
Well, and then there's, of course, all the smaller outfits that for years was basically,
sure.
they were using, very similar to spending the winter and staying in Kentucky, the way certain outfits stay in New York and would mm-hmm. campaign at Aqueduct,
yeah.
it had a lot of similarities, and it was really a chance for everybody, to get hold for the year, because mm-hmm. when they're competing at Keeneland and at Churchill to an extent, it's a little tougher because of the heavy heads. You've also got the Ohio outfits like Tim Hamm.
Jeff Greenhill,
Randy Klopp, and those mm-hmm. people from
yep.
Indiana. Then fold in. I just came from Presque Isle on Tuesday, and Tim Gurton said he you gave him some stalls, and he's excited yep. to have a handful yep. For the first time.
So it's like I say, the addition of the new barns is going to be huge, and it's going to get better every year.
What do you project the maiden specials?
I'm guessing 80-ish.
Wow, I was going to say 60.
Yeah.
Holy cow.
They were 62 last year.
So,
just that's a guess. Nothing in stone, but it's like I say, it's going to get better. It's going to entice
Holy
a few
cow.
More people to stay home, especially, you figure in the cost of straw and hay and everything else. It's a lot cheaper here than it is in Florida,
And you guys run a four days a week,
yep, yep.
which helps keep them home. And
yep.
You got the Tapeta surface in that really seems to be...
It's been safe. It's been well received. Really no complaints from horsemen. It's it was a win-win for us.
Unbelievable. Do we have a date, a firm date for Jeff Ruby Stakes Day?
I believe March 25th,
March 25th.
So, I don't think anything's been released yet, but I think that's...
So, did they do anything with the track? It's a mile.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. Do you have a chute, 7-furlong chute?
A 6.5
chute
and a mile and a quarter chute.
So, you know, so you got some various distances, which Oakland doesn't. You know, being there with the 6-furlongs, in other words, that's all they can do.
Yeah.
Just because of the way it goes into the barn area. So, that extra 0.5-furlong really... let you ride some 5.5s and 6.5s to separate them a little bit.
We were actually last year we made, I don't know how many mile and a quarters we made, Aether vans, Maiden Special Weights, Tour vans. It didn't matter. I mean, they were requesting them. So that was sort of fun.
Well, would you, and field size wise, you must have averaged over 8, no?
Oh, yeah, well over 8.
I was going to say, because every time I looked, you had fabulous.
I'm thinking closer to 9.
Yeah.
Tyler doesn't deal in the small stuff. 9 here, 11, I mean 9 there, 11 that's here. Right. You know,
if you're going to do it right. Don't do it at all.
Well, and you know, you're an official, a racing official that literally works 12 months a year, because when you're not handling these books, you're up in the steward stand.
Yes. Yeah, I'm steward at Churchill and Ellis Park. So it, you know, and I work in the racing office at Keeneland, so it's it rounds out the year.
For the one and only, for the incredible, the Ben Huffman, there accept no substitute.
Actually, he might be here today. Ben and Dan Bork both called, said they might be taking a field trip today.
So I got to tell you, you know, being around, and now I'm, you know, actually I'm a Kentucky guy now, kind of unofficially, but I work in Kentucky. It's my only track now. But this is a great crew. I mean, everybody that works here that I've over the years, and when I say a great crew, they're good people too. But everybody gets the job done. It's not something needs to be done. You just go do it, and it's not, well, that's Jimmy's job or that's Betty's job. It gets done, and you know what? Everybody gets along. Everybody likes each other. It's a pleasure to come around and be around these people. We crack, you know, we can do some jokes and have a little fun with each other.
It's
a
relaxed atmosphere. It's a very relaxed atmosphere. Yeah.
It is. But it we make it look that way. But there's a lot of little stuff that goes on. And I was telling Steve, you know, we added that seventh day, and that we're a little worried, literally, about filling it to the end. And here we got 142 inches on closing day. That we really would have bet again. We'd have taken the under on that for sure coming into it. But I guess to tell them how it looks easy putting together a lot of money, but the race has got to meld a little bit together, and the schedule was just right, and we had a lot less claiming races. The idea was to up the quality, which happened, so that made it living a little harder. So Tyler can reveal a couple of his secrets to make this happen.
No, it's, you know, it's some of these races, you, for instance, say we got two other than we had the other day. We had a 6.5 in the book. The next day we had a mile, and then we had a 7/8 on the closing day. So you're hoping the 6.5 overfills, you're hoping the mile overfills, and you get them all back together for the 7/8. And it worked out. I think the race got 12 in it, I think. So, you know, we're fortunate, very fortunate, A, for the purses and the facility, but the support we get from horsemen in Kentucky and elsewhere that come in to support this meet.
I don't know if I've ever asked. Your backstory. In terms of where you came from and how you got to the racetrack?
Short straw, actually. My stepfather was Rick Lee, former racing secretary at Turfway, steward at Churchill. And a lady that worked for him at Turfway was going to have a baby, Marion Cagle. I don't know if you remember Marion Hickey Cagle. She used to ride, married Tim Cagle, the trainer. And she was going to have her first child. I just graduated from college. And I worked in the parking lot and stuff at the tracks. But anyways, he said, you're starting work Tuesday. I said, okay.
In the office?
Yeah, in the office. And here we are.
Where'd you go to school?
NKU, Northern Kentucky University.
Northern Kentucky.
We refer to it as No Knowledge College.
I like that. Well, you know what the N stands for on the Nebraska helmets?
No.
Knowledge.
There you go. There you go.
I've been using that joke for years.
Yeah, I think my first semester was $468.
So your student loans paid back?
Yeah. There's no student loans.
So. Too funny. Tyler Picklesheimer and the racing office at Turfway, which is going to have a complete season. Just looked up the date, and that is the same Saturday as Louisiana Derby Day.
So chances are we'll we'll work with them and try to work on post times and, you know, maybe have some commingled wagers and things like that, hopefully, to look forward to.
Well, I will try to figure out. I think I'm going to Risen Star, and we'll have been in Vegas a little bit before that. And the Arkansas Derby is the week after. So we'll try to figure out if we can come back again this year to Jeff Ruby.
Do you guys race at nighttime and then the daytimes during the weekend?
I believe it's going to be Wednesday, Thursday, Friday nights, Saturday afternoons. Which would be a nice treat. That's where we need to be. I mean, the product's getting better. We need to be out there in the daytime where everybody else is at and where the players are at. So, and hopefully, you know, our quality is going to be competitive in the market, and our field size should hold up, and, you know, people are going to find us.
Tyler Picklesheimer, a pleasure, and it's nice to see you in person as opposed to the usual phone call.
There you go. Thank you.
I appreciate it. All right, you best of luck. It will be plenty of publicity again this year, and the season at Turfway shaping up to be tremendous. We've got Joe Kristofek is going to join us, Hammer. Let's do some handicapping. And Case, get a hold of Joe. If you would, we'll get Joey DeKay in here to offer the opinions. And certainly last week when we checked in with Joe, he rewarded everybody, to say the least, with a... in fact, I've got it right here. Let me see.
Now that we were doing the scratches earlier, Steve,
yeah,
and we had that
more?
Race, that eighth race,
yeah.
All the also's are out. So just we're scratching the six and Courage and that...
13, 14, 15, 16. So we don't have to worry about the Dale Romans...
No, any draw-in.
All right.
That was a different race.
I'm just looking at as we wait for Joe, hold on. Well... But that was Saturday, right?
Wasn't it opening day?
It was opening day, and I thought I had all the Kentucky Downs with me, but it looks like I've only got. When was opening day? Was it the first?
It was the first.
Yeah, he won't hear them. We can slip in. In the meantime, we'll get Larry in right after we're joined by Joe Kristofek, who joins us now. Joe, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve. How are you? Beautiful day out there, huh?
Well, unbelievable. I couldn't remember. In fact, Rick Hammerly's with us.
Hey, Joe.
What's up, Rick?
You said you were thinking of coming out for one of the days.
Yeah, I think Saturday, I'm going to keep an eye on the forecast, but it looks like Saturday could potentially be the day, man. I'm juggling fantasy football drafts and handicapping this stuff. And I mean, it's that time of year, right? So church will open it up next Thursday. I'm going to try really hard to get down there on Saturday as long as Mother Nature cooperates.
All right. Well, in the meantime, you know, what we've learned is they run the races whether we all come or not. So the races are going to definitely go. And first of all, Joe, congratulations and thanks for the fabulous 20-1 shot win last week. That got everybody rolling.
Yeah, I mean, for me, Kentucky Downs, I don't have any problem having a positive ROI with the top picks, you know, for the entire meet. That's not the issue. It's syncing these. We talked about it, Steve. It's syncing them up. If you're going to play pick fives, pick fours, even pick threes, you know, it's tough to be right on, you know, multiple races a day. But usually when you're right, you get paid. So I think my strategy should just be to bet to win on my top pick every race and just, you know, try to keep it as less complicated as possible. But I appreciate the props, and hopefully we can keep the good vibes rolling here through the end of the meet.
certainly going to have ideal conditions. Whatever rain came over the last few days, the give, there's got to be a little bit of give in the ground. It's absolutely perfect today. And let's dive in, Joe. I guess we should probably do this in let's maybe start with the pick five. Let's start with the races 6 through 10, and then we'll maybe cherry pick something earlier. But start with how about these two crazy $250,000 Keeneland auction purses that feature horses, you know, running for 250, races 4 and 6. So let's start with race 6.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be buying some yearlings at Keeneland for Brilliant Racing next week, and we might be looking for a turf horse. I mean, I kind of knew these races were there, but now that I see them in front of me, $250,000, you know, allowance races, and you got some maidens running in some of them. I went with Buttons as a top pick here, Steve. Broke the maiden in Indiana Grand, so, you know, maybe not given the credit this one deserves off the debut, but then you get the Great Equalizer with Irad Ortiz aboard for Joe Sharp. The win on debut was better than it looks. The horse broke a little bit slowly, was in the pocket, then kind of got shuffled back in the turn, but really charged home nicely to win. Galloped out well, looked like a horse to me that'll appreciate that elongated stretch at Kentucky Downs. The pedigree certainly there for it. $270,000 Horses of All Racing 8 sale, facing Tipton sale, graduate. A Half to Girl with a Dream was a nice horse for Brad Cox. Drawn nicely on the outside. I think that's good. The way the races have been playing, you know, outside post, a little bit of tactical speed and some closing punch. Not sure we're going to get 10-1 in the morning line, but I like Buttons quite a bit in the first leg of the pick five.
I'm using Buttons as well, and prominently. Of course, we had 3 scratches in there, so that now a field of 7. 7th race is the maiden special, and you know, I think Don't Go Changing, the Al Stahl second timer, morning line favorite. I don't think that she has to win by any means. I looked at a few other parties and even would have considered another, like Mended We Stand, the Rusty Arnold second timer, but Tiger Tap for me, Joe, at 10-1 from Brendan Walsh, and Wet Paint from the aforementioned Brad Cox. Those were the two that I'm going to key off of.
Yeah, I don't have the scratches, so, you know, stop me early if I start talking about.
No, you're good.
Horse.
You're good. You're good. The AEs, only the AEs are out.
Okay, cool. And the race before, Crack-A-Lackin, is she still in?
No.
Race 6? Okay, she's Scratch. Out. That was one I was interested in. She's had horrible trips for last couple, so keep tabs on her. I landed on Tiger Tap, too, and you and I have proven deadly, Steve, when we land on the same horse. So hopefully that continues here with this first-time starter for Brendan Walsh. The Dam was a grade 3 winner. She won her debut going long on the grass at Keeneland. The lone sibling to this one also won a grass race at Monmouth Park, I believe. You know, Brendan Walsh doesn't have a very high percentage of winners with first-time starters, but when they win, they pay at a price. And this one looks like it was primed for Kentucky Downs. You see some 5-furlong works mixed in. You see some gate works mixed in. You see that sneaky, sharp work on August 26th, second best of 126. The pedigree is certainly there. You know, Tyler Gaffleone and Brendan Walsh, when they team up, you know, Tyler, when he teams up with everybody, particularly Kentucky Downs, is formidable. But a 10-1 in the morning line amongst many horses that I think have a chance, including that favorite that you mentioned, Don't Go Changing. I'm just worried about the price being a little bit too short for my liking. But as a top selection, I landed with you on Tiger Tap.
There we go. All right. Let's press into the first level allowance. They're going to go a mile, and this is you know, one of the spots, I thought, Joe, in the late sequence that was going to be very, very tough. I think we all are going to be able to lean on Sharp as Attack in the juvenile sprint. So it feels like you're going to have to spread in the 8th race, and I won't even go through the ones that I'm considering. I will say that this is so wide open that I thought Ruffin the City at 20-1 had a big look in here as much as anybody.
Yeah, I got two horses I like quite a bit. I don't know, what are we looking at for scratches here? I'm guessing Encourage is out.
to us short, and Courage came out, and the AEs.
Okay. I like Great Heart for John Ortiz. Ran on the turf last time for the first time in the career, and you look at that pedigree, Empire Maker, Stormy Atlantic certainly has a little bit of green blood flowing there. And got beat a length and finished fifth, and, you know, Your Horse, Rough in the City, Wake Surf, kind of a common race. But this horse got steadied back on the first turn and lost valuable position and then was held up in the stretch and, according to my notes, never got a lane to run. And, you know, that's the big advantage you have, Steve, when you do your own trip notes versus the chart. The short comment says late bid stretch willingly, and my comment says never got a lane to run. So that could be a great advantage. Julian Lepreux riding in fine form. And then the other horse I like is the horse that debuted with a win in Indiana Grand, Penner Ash, who's bred to run all day out of a Galileo mare. Very visually impressive debut. Was pressed every step of the way, shook off the pressers, drew off to win by five, was very impressive visually, galloped out nicely, didn't beat much that day, but it was the way that he did it. A rare Stone Street Stables colt. You see a lot of Stone Street runners. The vast majority of them are fillies. They team up here with Eddie Keneally, who does a good work at Kentucky Downs. A Penner Ash off the debut win, I think, has a bright future.
You didn't mention Mr. Tip, who I made my top selection. I went 1-4-7. 7 is Penner Ash, and then the 12, Mazuma. If Mazuma had been better drawn, I probably would have made him a little bit more prominent. But 1-4-7-12 for me. Mr. Tip absolutely deserves consideration, and certainly the way Arad Ortiz came through here this past week, he, you know, anything he's on needs a second look. The juvenile sprint, do we need to go beyond Sharp as Attack? Scratch the 3, 4, and 8, Joe.
Yeah, I didn't pick him. I obviously think he could win. Wow. You know, could be a superstar in the making. You know, I watched the Tyro. It was visually impressive. But look at the horses he beat, Steve. If you go back and look at the past performances, he didn't beat anything that particular day. He's going to get more pace pressure. He was on an easy lead. Kentucky Downs is a funny place. I took Bourbon Spirit on debut at Alice in the Mud. Had a horrible trip. Got steadied, got shuffled back, came again late, drew away, galloped out way in front. And then he lost to that Todd Pletcher monster in the Sapling, a Lord Ark, was a perfect 2-for-2. That horse was dominant, but Bourbon Spirit, did all the dirty work, was pressured every step of the way. Now he cuts back to a distance that I think will suit him better. And again, Sharp as Attack, by far the horse to beat, but Bourbon Spirit at 6-to-1 on the cutback is better than he looks on paper, and I think he'll provide some value.
Well, Joe, I was hearing and thinking you were referring to Bourbon Therapy. Bourbon Spirit came out.
Oh, Bourbon Spirit is out. Well, there goes that one. All right, so the other horse I looked at a little bit was Private Creed. He's been good in 2 starts. I thought the Skidmore at Saratoga was a very representative race for the stakes level. Puts the blinkers on. So Private Creed would be the other one. But, yeah, this is a race, Steve, and it's really nice when you can say this at Kentucky Downs. If you can narrow to maybe those two horses and the multi-race wagers, root for the longer price of the two. Maybe you don't have to spread 7 deep like you feel like you have to in a lot of these races.
Well, and as I noted, between the 8th and the 10th, I thought you had absolutely eye-crossing fields to deal with. The maiden special weight, filly and mare race going 10.5 furlongs that closes out the card. This is a disaster. I mean, there's 12 horses that are going to line up, and at least 8 feel eligible to win and maybe even take the over. When you got a horse like D'Oro Forever that's coming off the year-long layoff for Nacho Correas, you know, that's a horse that can... I see that Marcus Hirsch picked her. So I just thought this was a very difficult way to end the sequence. I ended up leaning on Cherie DeVoe with Mazzoni, who seems to be making incremental progress. I used that high stick and personal best, both of the Shug McGahees on the outside. And if I like Mazzoni, I got to like Seaver a little bit from Vicky Oliver. And there's also a quality star for Paulo Lobo outside. What about Arno Delacour with Solidarity? I mean, this thing is murder.
Yeah, you just hit my horse, Solidarity, and I like him quite a bit. The debut at Delaware was okay, ran third, came back in the next start, second start, first with Lasix, second time with Blinkers, obviously, and ran a lot better than it looks, was third that day, but Full Count Felicia was an impressive winner. She ran in the stake at the Colonial this past weekend. A very awkward break from the gate, recovered quickly, but was kind of sort of outrunning the first turn, was loaded on the second turn, was steadied, and then was six wide, and just the top two horses got the jump on her. Again, a better-than-it-looks performance. And what I really like going a mile and 5/16 is this pedigree. Quality Road, the Fleet Alex Dam, Busy Caroline, was all turf class, and, man, she loved these long marathon-type turf route races. So you see it at Kentucky Downs, you get these mile and a 5/16, mile and a half races, and sometimes these distant pedigrees really, really come into play. I like Solidarity's form to begin with, and I like her ability to stretch out from a mile to this longer distance in this one.
Joey the K Racing, everybody, and Joe Kristofak. And Joe, in the front half of the card, races 1 through 5, anything jump out at you?
Yeah, let me take a real quick look here. First race is kind of muddled. The second race I landed on, Tollgate Canyon, that's a first-time starter. The third yep. race, Smoke Lightning, I thought was a yep. horse that ran better than it looks on debut, should be finishing. Nothing really that stands out compared to maybe some of the other races that we talked about. I would say the races that we talked about are my stronger opinions. But, again, to get all the picks, go to the expert pick videos at Twin Spires. That's the only place you can find my 1, 2, 3.
Joe Kristofak, everybody. And, Joe, we will see you here hopefully this weekend. If not, we will see you at Keeneland and talk next week.
You got it. All right, Steve, Rick, take care. Have a great day, guys.
There we go. Joey the K, Joe Kristofak, and we turn right around. It's been a whipsaw morning, and 10 minutes to close out, and happy to close them out with Larry Comas.
Hello, Steve. Hello, Rick. How's
Larry?
Things?
Larry.
It's good to,
that's
good
our
to
traditional
have you here.
Call.
Larry.
Larry. That comes from the old steward at Northern California, Charlie Doherty, who used to signal to me on this squawk box whenever we had a change, and I'd hear Larry. And so Rick and I just do that all the time.
It's embedded in our heads.
Like 30 years later.
Yeah.
He was talking earlier about those days at GGF. That's funny.
Yeah, we had some good times there for sure back in the late 80s, early 90s, and here we are together again, the beautiful Kentucky Downs.
Right.
What is it, 35 years later,
yeah.
or something ridiculous
and,
like
that? You know, very similar, because at Golden Gate Fields, when you went up to the roof, you literally got up and walked across the roof, rain, shine, wind, no matter what, and you made it to like almost like a boxcar. And there was, I think, what, we had 3 stewards, 2 placing judges, the three DRF guys,
right,
and the photo finish, and Larry, and that was it. We were like our own little family up there for the whole day. So,
the thing that I was, the piece of advice I always got when I was calling up there was, if the booth goes up and down, you feel it go up and down, don't worry about it.
Side to side,
get out.
Ah, that's great.
Yeah, and it moved side to side every once in a while, but
that's
it was moving up and down a lot anytime somebody walked across the roof, so that wasn't too bad. But, those were many, many years ago. We've been to so many places since, and this place is just so much fun. We have a great time here, and it's great to be here.
It's relaxed. I see you're wearing your FanDuel the TV shirt.
Absolutely. They sent me a couple of shirts, and they're supposed to put me on camera for maybe a minute to talk about the races, but we'll see if they actually do. I'm dressed for just in case.
Well, you and enjoyed. I mean, I when I get a chance to watch the former TVG feed, you've had, it seems like you've really enjoyed that.
It's been a fun gig. I got to do the whole winter at Gulfstream, and I've been doing the summer at Monmouth, and I didn't think I'd ever not be calling races on a regular basis, and doing something else has been kind of fun, and being able to branch out a little bit.
Yeah.
Pick a winner every once in a while, more losers like everybody else, but that's part of the game. And you know, I'm going to be doing that as well when this meet's over. They're sending me to Santa Anita for opening weekend.
Cool.
I'll be at Keeneland for a couple of weeks before the Breeders' Cup, and you know, also I'm going to be calling the steeplechase at Far Hills.
Far Hills, you'll be back.
Which is always a lot of fun, and so we're staying busy.
Nice. And I have not actually over the summer. I did not. Has anybody tuned in to the new format TVG yet? Have you had a chance to watch?
It really isn't much different.
There's nothing.
I think it's pretty much the same racing program as TVG, with some new things going on in the morning, some new shows that people I think are going to enjoy with sports betting, and we're trying to incorporate, you know, both get the new fans that maybe aren't racing into racing but are into sports betting, get them into racing. And that is something that is definitely a goal of FanDuel TV, and I think it's a process, but I think it's a worthwhile one.
Speaking of getting people into racing, I see the Global Tote sign up, and the Global Tote boys are here today, and you did a lot of work at Monmouth. Did you get involved in the fixed odds at all? Tell us about that.
I didn't get involved too much in the fixed odds. I think it's a great idea. You see too many times people always saying, you know, horses 4-1 going into the gate, he goes off at 8-5. And it's a problem. And it's something that fixed odds takes care of. And I think, that's something that needs to grow. Right now at Monmouth, you can only bet on Monmouth at Monmouth. But the fact that, you know, you can get 5-1 on a horse and know that's what you're going to get is a huge deal. And I think people will really start to, you know, take advantage of that. And it hasn't hurt the tote at all. It has not hurt the handle. So I think that's a good thing, too.
Which we thought, you know, people were worried about. And I right. think that's what you're trying to integrate with other sports. Like when you go to play football, you bet 6.5, you get 6.5.
Exactly.
And I think what they're trying to incorporate, as FanDuel is trying to do, is trying to become part of a main line where you could bet the Lakers -7 and Joe Blue Boy at 5-1.
Yeah.
And put it on a ticket and have the amount you're going to get back at the end of the day.
I think the more people we get into betting on horse racing that are sports bettors, the better. And let's hope that FanDuel TV is going to accomplish that.
Right.
Happy today that there isn't mist and fog and rain and
it's hard enough here.
I was going to say, as we discussed last year, the difficult angle and the low, you know, sort of the low sight line. But then the other day, and you didn't miss a trick, actually, because I was watching, and even though it was so murky, I didn't see where you had any issue.
You know what? I think it's ideally overcast is easier to see here than sunny. I've got a big 40-inch monitor right next to me in case I want to look at it. When it's sunny, I can't even really see it. You know, so if you get the clouds, that's an advantage. But I'm using binoculars anyway for the most part. And, you know, the toughest parts are the top of the backstretch where they are at the 6-furlong pole, where they make that loop around and go downhill. And I'm looking, you know, I use the jockey silks as my guide, and I'm looking at white pants. You know, because they're running away from me, pretty much.
Exactly.
You know? So they all look the same.
Exactly.
So you have to sort of guess who they are and where they were the last time you saw them. And then when they turn for home, it's an absolute low head-on shot. And it's like there's no perspective of who's ahead of who. And you just have to take your best estimate. And as they get closer, it gets easier to tell.
I think there was a race the other day. It looked like when they turned for home, there was 12 across. Because
it's
so wide,
it's
I know.
The
it's the angle, right? And you look down there, and you go, "Oh my gosh, here
no,
he goes!"
That's what I see every race, and you know, you tend to focus on the outside horses making their moves, but the inside horses are really still hanging in there.
Yeah,
and you get to know that after a while. The problem with this meet is it's only 7 days long,
yeah.
So you don't have a whole lot of time to adjust, and you know that's it's a similar situation when I say you look for outside movers. The Kentucky Derby this year, you know, you've got the two horses, Epicenter, Zandon, going at each other, and you're looking for any moves on the outside, and all of a sudden you see this inside. Red and white streak on the inside coming up the rail, and it's like, is that really Rich Strike? And it was.
And you think about Mind That Bird, which, of course, was a terribly muddy day for Tom Durkin to deal with, so everybody was all caked up anyway, but it always does seem like it's easier, I imagine, for a race caller to be seeing the ones rallying outside than
correct.
The ones rallying inside.
Yeah, because you see it more often. I think horses
your
tend
eyes
to
gravitate.
Rally outside, and that's where you're looking. But occasionally they'll slip up the inside on you, and you just have to hope you see them.
And you did. But now, we're talking earlier, I said, sometimes I'll say, hey, Larry, let's get a bite to eat, and you go, I'm coloring. Explain how you, your style of identifying the horses.
Yeah, so I have an iPad, and I do it digitally, and I color all the jockey silks next to the horses' names. Helps me identify them. Normally, it takes about 45 minutes to go through a card. I just did Saturday's card yesterday here. It took me 2 hours because there are so many horses in every race. There are 12 horses in 10 races and 10 horses in the other two. And I'm like, am I ever going to finish this? I'm like, is this really worth it? But it is, you know, that's what's so great about Kentucky Downs. The field sizes, this place just, the racing here is just unbelievably good.
Right. I think about the coloring, and it's sad. Luke Krybosch with the crayons. And after he had passed that derby, before the meet started, I went up to the and there were all the crayons.
Yeah.
I've still got three. I got three crayons I took from that.
I don't know if there was a person more universally liked than Luke.
Unbelievable.
He was so much fun, and it was good to everybody. And I just remember he would call the announcer's booth at Monmouth and say, he would always say, is Bob Weems there, please? Because Bob was the announcer before I was at Monmouth, and the announcer at Turf Paradise before Luke was.
There, huh?
I would know that was always Luke calling when he would do his
Larry Colmus, everybody, and thank Larry and Tyler Picklesheimer, Tim Wilkin earlier, Joe Christofek to help us negotiate this card. Robert Falcone joined us, and Eric Foster as well with their big wins this week. And Dan Issel started us off. Good luck today, everybody. Picks are up at the website. Back here tomorrow for the big weekend preview at the races.
It's At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio. Here in Pennsylvania, we're proud of our breeding program, the best in North America. But we're also proud to be leaders in this industry. The PA Horse Breeders Association is funding cutting-edge research at Penn Vet into equine health and safety. And we endorse the SAFE Act to help protect the most vulnerable horses. Plus, we're pleased to support the aftercare programs set up by our horsemen's groups. Just a few of the reasons why you should join us in Pennsylvania, the premier place to breed and race.
The Southern California Thoroughbred Racing Circuit returns to Los Alamitos with opening day set for Friday, September 16th. Four stakes races highlight the meet led by the Los Alamitos Special on Saturday, September 24th. The meet will feature stakes every Saturday and Sunday afternoon. And racing fans, the meet will also feature an on-track live money handicapping contest on Saturday, September 24th. You could win a berth to the 2022 NHC. And racing fans, the best of night racing continues at Los Alamitos every Saturday and Sunday night. Outstanding racing action is in store this weekend with stakes trials highlighting the racing card. Plus, our nighttime $2 pick six continues to be a popular wager. If there's not a carryover going into our Sunday night program, Los Alamitos will add $10,000 to the pick six pool. That's more money for the horse players to win. The best of racing, the best of nighttime quarter horse racing, always at Los Alamitos. Remember, daytime thoroughbred racing returns on Friday, September 16th.
Thoroughbred horse racing is back in Virginia as Colonial Downs conducts its More Racing, More Money summer season presented by Woodford Reserve. An early week racing schedule and average daily purses of $625,000. The nine-week meet runs from July 11th through September 7th with racing every Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m. Wager on Colonial's 50-cent pick five with a low 12% takeout and a new carryover provision. All races will be broadcast on TVG this summer. Colonial Downs racing Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 1:45 p.m.
Who are you betting on? How about an app created specifically for horse racing? Naira Bets. We specialize in thundering hooves, fist pumping, and boosting your bankroll with robust weekly promotions and offer betting tips from actual horse racing experts. Bet all day and night, nationwide. Get the action and thrill of horse racing with Naira Bets. $200 deposit match with promo Steve200. Visit NairaBets.com for details.
The Ponds family's Country Life and Maryland Farms are the place for breeding and racing in the Mid-Atlantic. Country Life is nationally recognized for making stallions and currently stands the Mid-Atlantic's leading first and second crop sires, Divining Rod by Tappan and Mosler by Warfront, as well as Frisian Fire. Maryland's 5/8 mile training track completes the full service facilities from the folding barn to the racetrack. Join the excitement of racing with Country Life Farm, where our partnerships can take you from beginning to winning.
Want to get your career in horse racing off to a fast start? Well, the University of Arizona